Thank you, Lucy. So, as Lucy says, it's 5 weeks to Christmas. Advent starts next week. So this is the final Sunday of the church's year, Christ the King. So this is, therefore, also our last talk in our series on questions Jesus asked. We haven't, of course, exhausted all the questions Jesus asked, but it's just the last one for now. And the question is the one that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. That's our focus today. And the question is, what do you want me to do for you? Well, on the face of it, we might think that sounds like a bit of a silly question. But as we go a bit deeper this morning, my aim is to get us to think about what the question's really asking. The answers we might give, what those answers reveal about us and our thinking about God, and how all of that might change our instant and instinctive response to that question from, isn't it obvious, to something more considered. So let's begin with our story from Mark. It's a story that's found in Matthew and Luke as well, but with slight variations. So in Matthew, we've got two blind beggars rather than just the one. And it's actually only in Mark's gospel that we know the beggar by name. To be physically blind in Jesus' day was considered a curse from God. And although there were laws commanding the care of the needy, most were forced to beg, having no other means of getting money. And we don't know how old Bartimaeus is or how long he's been blind for. But receiving his sight will be a huge adjustment. This is how John Pritchard, whose book forms the basis of our sermon series, imagines Bartimaeus' train of thought in response to Jesus' question. For a moment, I'm lost for an answer. I thought it was so obvious. But then the question goes deep inside me, and I realise that he's asking me an even bigger question than I thought. He's asking if I'm ready to give up everything I've known throughout my adult life. I've been a blind beggar in Jericho for as long as I can remember. I've not done a real day's work in my life. I've depended on others to look after my needs. Do I want to give all that up and be an independent working man with grown-up responsibilities? A proper citizen of Jericho like my father? That would be a huge change. Do I want it? What this imaginary thought process shows, first of all, is perhaps we don't always take into account the consequences of what we ask for. Secondly, it draws attention to the fact that as creatures of habit, we can get stuck in the familiar, the routine, the predictable, even if that's uncomfortable, because we fear the alternative. And so in answer to Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? We might brush him off saying, I'm okay for now, thank you. Or we might ask him to heal the sick and comfort the bereaved, which is great, but not mention anything specific to ourselves, just in case the answer looks different from what we hoped for. In the case of Bartimaeus, there's another layer of meaning we have to consider, and that's the idea of seeing. Not only physically with the eyes, but also spiritually with the heart. So when Bartimaeus says, I want to see, we can hear the statement literally for his eyesight to be restored, but also figuratively. He's making a statement of faith, a declaration about who Jesus is and his desire to follow him. And Jesus responds to that faith, saying, go, for your faith has healed you. At this point, as something of an aside, I want to touch on this story being a miracle of healing. and that despite how it might sound, there is no easy equation between having faith and being healed. If healing was just a matter of faith, then the implication is that if you're not healed, it's somehow your fault. You haven't had enough faith. So in praying for healing, we have to acknowledge, however sadly, that although God is all-powerful and all-loving, sickness and death are part of the human condition. Not everyone in the Bible gets healed. And we also need to acknowledge that healing isn't always about bodily cure. It covers mental, emotional, social, and spiritual wholeness too. Interestingly, the word used for healing in this passage can also mean saved. And this ties into the idea of Bartimaeus being able to see spiritually as well as physically. We might even say that Bartimaeus receives two miracles. So what about us? How would we answer Jesus' question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Would we be completely honest? Or would we modify our responses and maybe ask for something we felt we ought to ask for? Nothing too big in case it's impossible. Nothing too small because surely God has bigger fish to fry than my trivialities. Would we hold back, uncertain of the outcome? Maybe putting Jesus on hold for a bit until we kind of exhausted all the other possibilities. Would we simply be too embarrassed to admit what's on our hearts? Well, if your answer to any of these questions is yes, then I wonder what that says about how you view yourself and how you view God. You see, when we're not honest about God, about our desires, because we're afraid he might respond in a way or at a pace we don't like, maybe we need to remind ourselves that his ways are not our ways. Or, more crudely, that God isn't a vending machine. Or if we don't ask because we fear sounding silly or selfish, then maybe we need to let common sense, which itself is a gift from God, nudge us. If we feel we can only pray for other people, and that is a common feeling and it's something really important we can do for others, then maybe, just maybe, we need to remember that to love our neighbours as ourselves, we need to love ourselves first. Each of us is a much prized, deeply cherished, and utterly valuable child of God. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, to accept in our faith. We know that human love is wonderful, but it's also fallible. God's love, well, he loves us equally, without comparing, without contrasting, without criticizing, and without any sort of competition. In Matthew and Luke, Jesus' teaching on prayer says, "What father among you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or a snake, if he asked for a fish? If you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask?" In our Old Testament reading today, we heard how Solomon answered when asked the same question as Bartimaeus. Instead of asking for more stuff, and if you carry on reading the story of Solomon, you'll know he had an awful lot of stuff, Solomon asks for wisdom to govern. And note that although this gift will benefit many others, Solomon does ask for something for himself, just as Bartimaeus does. So it's okay to ask for our own healing. for the right words in a difficult situation. Even for a parking space, though, you can't guarantee you'll get one. What happens, I think, and it's true of Solomon's request, is that the more we're able to bring our wants and hopes and dreams to God, the more he will shape them. We may even realise that the thing he wants most of all, and the thing that we want most of all, is a deeper relationship with him, a closer walk with the God who loves us so much. So I'm going to leave you with that question. What do you want me to do for you? And invite you to take some time this week to think about the answer. My hope is that instead of shying away from the question or thinking God that should already know the answer, you will be able to be really honest. And in doing that, you'll realise things about how you see yourself and about how you see God. Please talk to me if you think you need any help doing that. And I'd also like you to be excited, because when we do something like this, we're doing theology. How cool's that?